If you have your Bibles this morning, let's take a few moments to get into the Word before we take communion this morning.
Praise God.
Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And I want to share for a few moments on, have you passed by anyone in need lately? Have you passed by anyone in need lately? Verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer. That's always trouble. I got a lot of lawyer jokes, but I'm not going to tell them all today. But anyway. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly." Praise the Lord. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" That's a good question, isn't it? Who is your neighbor? Is it the person that lives beside you, behind you, in front of you, three houses down from you? Who is your neighbor? Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." Hallelujah. You go and do likewise. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that your precious Holy Spirit will speak to us as we are here in this church today. That you will minister to us by your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you today for the work that you are doing in every heart in this house. And every heart in this town, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying for a revival. need you. Like we've never needed you before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, people build churches and they spend millions of dollars and millions of rupees to build these edifices. And then there's no money left over to feed the poor. They have no money left over, but they've got a nice building. You know, so much of Christianity today is based on what we can see naturally. But God is different. He works differently than the world works. We live today in a me generation. Many people only engage in activities that benefit them personally. The church has become like Loblaws. Are there fresh fruits there? If not, I'm going to go to Independent. Right? So it's based on what can that store do for me? As opposed to what can I do for God? What can I sacrifice to make my life appealing to others in the name of Jesus? Sacrifice and selfless living are often terms to describe a bygone era. How many know that our parents, I got to be careful here this morning. I don't know how old everybody is here today. But our parents, my parents lived in a time of sacrifice and selfless living. They ended up on the shores of Canada with nothing. And the government didn't give them anything either. They had to make a way themselves. Can somebody say amen this morning? Make a way themselves. From nothing came something. The story of the Good Samaritan describes in detail how we are to live our lives. The story of the Good Samaritan describes in detail how we are to live our Christian lives. So let's examine this story this morning. And I have 3 points. And the first three are important. Did you get that, brother? Write it down. Number one, sometimes people fall on hard times and need help. Boy, it's awful quiet here. I don't know if you believe that or not. People sometimes fall on hard times and need help. Look at verse 29. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers." Can you blame him for that? Can you blame him? He was just going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. He didn't do anything wrong, did he? He was just going from point A to point B. And something happened for which he had no control over. The Bible says that they stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half And friends, let me tell you something this morning. The family unit that we know so well is breaking down. And people are not growing up in a very good situation, oftentimes right in their own home. Hello? Often abuse takes place in people's own home where they're growing up. They're victims of abuse for which they have no control over the situations or the circumstances. And friends, they need help. They need help. Can somebody say amen this morning? They need the help of the church. They need the help of every believer reaching out with compassion in the name of Jesus and letting the healing power of Jesus Christ minister to them. I grew up in a wonderful home. My dad loved the Lord, and my mom still loves the Lord. But you know, a lot of people don't have that privilege. They don't have the privilege of growing up in a good Christian home. And we have more and more young people growing up in divided homes that have been split apart for whatever reason. And I want to say this morning that divorce hinders more than just the husband and the wife. It hinders and it sometimes injures the children. And I'm not blaming anyone this morning. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not blaming anyone this morning. I'm just saying that sometimes our children are growing up hurt. And that's why they're turning to drugs. That's why they're turning to these things that are destroying them, because there's pain inside of their hearts and they can't find a solution to heal the pain. But friends, we have the solution, and His name is Jesus. Can you shout it out this morning? His name is Jesus. Friends, there's so much heartache, even in our little town. People are going to bed without any hope that tomorrow will change for the better. Are you hearing me this morning? I've never grown up with an alcoholic father or an alcoholic mother. I only seen my mom and dad love each other. But that's not the case for a lot of people today growing up in this country. Not the case. Not anymore. Some kids are growing up with two moms. Some kids are growing up with two dads. And I wonder how that's going to affect the children. How is all of what is happening, even in our school system, how it's twisting the minds and hearts of our youth? We need, friends, we need to have compassion for our young people. I want to say it again. We need a fresh dose of compassion for our Our spiritual eyes need to be opened to see the broken lives all around us. You know, our spiritual antennas need to be up all the time to see who we can minister to. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that this man was beaten and left half dead. People sometimes fall on hard times and they need help. Secondly, having a spirit of religion often keeps people from extending compassion and ministering to others. Sometimes we don't want to get our spiritual hands dirty. We don't want to get down into the trenches and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. The Bible says we're supposed to snatch them out of the flames of hell. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse 31, now by chance a priest, the priest, was going down that road. And when he saw him, can you imagine a priest walking down the road and he sees the man bleeding and dying, and instead of going over to see what's going on, he walks away and past him on the other side. Someone's bleeding and dying there, I'm the priest. I see that person there, I don't got time for that. I've got to get to bingo. I've got a meeting with the mayor. I don't get time for that. Maybe the man wasn't a Jew, so he said, you know what, I can't help that man because I'm supposed to avoid him. He's not Jewish. Are you hearing me this morning? Does it matter what color of skin the person has? Does it matter what religion the person is practicing? No. If someone's in need, someone's in need. Are you hearing me this morning? And as a Christian, we should reach out and minister to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Likewise, a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, another religious person, he passed by on the other side. That's two religious people, the priest and the Levite. Friends, we can miss out on an opportunity because of our religious thinking. Right? And miss out on the heart of God, because the heart of God is ministering to the down and out and those that are being harassed and oppressed. Some guy's got to have a plane. Some guy's living in a castle, claiming to be some evangelist. That's just God saying, calling and saying, you're on the right track, David. Just keep it up. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, which one of you who has a sheep?
You know, I was thinking about this story the other day about a woman who had a chicken, a husband. Not to confuse them. She had a pet chicken and a husband. And the interviewer said, if there was a fire, who would you rescue first? Without hesitation, the woman said, the chicken. I'm serious, that's what she said. She had a choice to rescue the husband or the chicken, and she says, every time, I'm going to go into a burning house and save the chicken. There's something wrong with that story. Right? You're going to get it one of these days. And he said to them, which one of you who has a sheep? Now you're getting it. If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it up. He's saying, you have a sheep and it's in distress on the Sabbath. Will you not go and lift it out of the pit? Jesus said that because he knew that's what they would do. They would help an animal in distress. You know, it's amazing, and I love animals, but it's amazing how people can go on marches, put themselves in peril for animals. Meanwhile, children are being aborted and murdered. God help us is right. God help us. How much more value is a man than a sheep? Their thinking was messed up. So is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But listen, the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him because he was doing good on the Sabbath. You see how religion can hinder us from ministering to people? Their religion hindered them from letting Jesus do his miraculous work right in the temple. Are you hearing me this morning? Their religious thinking. Someone said to me one time, I don't want those people coming into the church with tattoos and big fat earrings. Dressing funny. Friends, God has called us to reach the lost. God has called us to redeem those who are unredeemed, that are in the pit, and bring them out in the name of Jesus, whoever they may be. Glory be to God. Jesus is in the salvation business. Can somebody shout amen? Someone said, and I agree with them, our job is to catch fish. It's God's job to clean them. Hello? Let Jesus clean them up. Hallelujah. Thank God that's his business. Praise the Lord.
We are fishers. We go out and rescue the perishing. But it's Jesus. It's the Spirit of God that cleans people up.
Religion can hinder us. You know, I have to tell you, sometimes I've walked by on the other side. I pray God will forgive me for those times when someone needed my help and I just walked by on the other side. God, forgive us as a church when we're so consumed with our profile, with our buildings, that we walk by on the other side. You heard the story recently of a pastor of a large church who dressed up like a homeless man. He wanted to see how his people would respond to someone that wasn't dressed appropriately. And he was amazed to find out that some people reached out and others just wanted nothing to do with him. And oh, the surprise that they got when that homeless person stepped into the church and walked right up the center aisle of the church and right up on the platform and right behind the pulpit and took off his disguise. And there everybody realized that that homeless person was the lead pastor of that church. I wonder what the people thought who walked by the guy. Point number three, living for Jesus often means going the extra mile. Being willing to be inconvenienced. Oh boy, people in Toronto don't like to be inconvenienced. It's true. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had not pity, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring on oil and wine. He did something practical to help the person. Hello? Then he sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Wow. You say, well, maybe he had nothing to do that day. He allowed himself to be inconvenienced so that he could help this man. Are you hearing me this morning? You've heard the term talk is cheap, right? Anybody can talk the talk, but God wants us to walk the walk. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. You know what? He didn't stop there. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Wow. Can you imagine if the church operated this way? Can you imagine if we operated our lives in this fashion? And I believe there are people in this church who do that. And God is blessing you. Come on, hallelujah. The blessing of God is upon your life. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Peace you are, and filled." In other words, God bless you. I'm praying for you. How many know that when you're hungry and thirsty and you don't have enough clothes, saying that is like a slap in the face?
Oh.
Right? Come on, it's the truth. God bless you in your misery. Come on, it's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go in peace. Be warm and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. The Bible says, what good is that? What good is it? No good. Some people's Christianity only goes as far as the point where they're inconvenienced. And then they stop. Are you hearing me this morning? Well, I've got my plans for the day. I've got to go to Juju's birthday party and Billy Bob's anniversary. I'm a busy person. Billy Bob is not going to care, and Juju will not be depressed for the rest of their life if you reach out in the midst of a bad situation and minister to somebody. Amen. What's more important? I say doing God's business. Can you shout amen, somebody? We must be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Not people's business. Not relatives' business. But God's business. Hallelujah. So why are you jumping like that? I don't know. I just get excited when I preach. When I think about it. You know what the Bible says? Can I say it one more time? I can't say it because I never said it yet. When you have a party, you know what the Bible says? Don't invite your friends. Don't invite your relatives. Don't invite your rich neighbors. Get the blind, the crippled, those that wouldn't normally be invited to a party per se. And fill your house with those people. And you know what the Bible says? God will richly bless you. Hallelujah. Those relatives don't like you anyway.
That's right.
They're just a pain in the neck. Most of them. Come on. I'm just joking. But you know what I'm saying this morning? That's what the Bible says. We don't do that. The Bible says, we minister to those who will minister to us. I'll scratch your back, and I know one day you're going to scratch mine. She gets a kick out of that. But you know what? If you minister to someone and they never repay you, God's going to bless you. Hallelujah. God's going to bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's not walk by those people that have been put in hard times, but let's reach out to them with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And see the miracle working power of God flood through us like it's never done before. Hallelujah. You know what? Those disciples didn't have silver or gold. But when that man reached out with his little tin cup at Gate Beautiful and said, "You got anything to put in?" They said, "You know what? I've got nothing. We're not rich. But such as we have, I'm going to give you." And he stretched out his hand and grabbed that man by the hands and lifted him up. And all of a sudden, his bones were healed. Hallelujah. The Bible says he jumped up and down, praise God, because more than physical food, God gave him a miracle in the name of Jesus. Bow your heads.